Ms. Palmer, are you ready? Okay. I'd like to call this study session of the City Council to order at 5:33. Does any member of council have any changes or adjustments to tonight's agenda? Okay. Okay. No other? Okay, then we will move on. Mr. Walker.
Should indicate that so far we've had two public meetings. You'll recall about 2 years ago we restructured the whole budget process and budget timeline so that we start having public meetings in October. We generally have three public meetings to gather public input. We've had two so far. We have one more scheduled prior to submission of the draft budget. It's my intention to submit the draft budget to council in February. Following that, we will have three additional public meetings for public input and comment and council public input and comment with a view of adopting the budget by early June. Are there any members of council who don't have a copy of the material that was sent out as part of the study session? Yes. Anybody not have it? Okay. This evening I'm going to focus on the general fund, the budget highlights, the challenges that we see over the course of the next year. Essentially be an overview of the proposed budget for the next fiscal year, which runs from July 1st, 2013 to June 30th, 2014, and also identification of some planned capital improvements. As indicated, all council members will recall that when we submitted the draft budget last year, there were some additional items added by council members. I'm anticipating that happening as well, so look forward to council's input as we go through this process. Just in terms of the budget, we're continuing to improve the budget document to make it more readable. Some of the comments that we've had from council members and from members of the public have all been designed to ensure that the budget becomes a more readable document. As said, it is a public document. Really, the criteria, in my judgment, is that it should be very readable and understandable to the people who provide the various sources that we use to provide services to our city. You'll recall that we included an additional column indicating percentage increases or decreases. We're also including information for an explanation of any significant changes over the previous year, whether it's a budget increase or budget decrease, as part of our budget format. No, probably anything over 10%. We will put in an explanation as to why it's gone up or why it's gone down, okay? Just in terms of budget highlights for next year, we're anticipating no reduction in city services. We're proposing that there be no increase in real estate taxes. We're not anticipating an increase in sales tax revenue. For the first time in 4 years, we're proposing a cost of living increase for city staff members, a 2% cost of living increase. Last year, you'll recall, we did it as a one-time bonus for staff members. We did a 2%. We're proposing, as part of this year's budget, that we have a 2% cost of living increase for employees, so that would be rolled in terms of their salary ranges. It's been 4 years since there's been an increase in staff salaries, and we think that we need to move forward on that. Increase in funding for police operations. The council recently approved four additional police officers, so that's resulting in an increase in expenditures. We're still continuing to work with the University City School District to share the cost of a dedicated grant writer. And we're also proposing funding for the City Hall Summer Youth Program for the third year. In terms of budget challenges, I believe that the council members will be aware of some of the challenges we continue to face. Our declining population has impacted the city significantly. It's about $400,000 a year that we lose in our revenue stream by doing absolutely nothing. And all of that is attributed directly to our decline in population. There's still considerable discussion about proposals to make University City a point of sale rather than a pool city. The implications, if that should happen, are quite significant. I think the range on that is, help me, Tina, I think it's about $2 million, isn't it? And then additional capital needs and aging infrastructure. We all recognize the University City's an aging inner ring suburb. In the past, we likely could have devoted more money to our infrastructure programs. Council, as you'll recall, approved a significant amount of funds out of this year's budget, so we are moving forward on our street, sidewalk, and curb improvement program, ADA compliance for sidewalks and curbs. We still have a street paving backlog and maintenance, and our enhanced forestry maintenance budget challenge. Okay, the proposed budget for general fund represents a surplus budget, and as I said, I recognize that council has not gone through the proposals yet and did any additions or deletions. There may be things in the proposed budget that we bring forward that council decides that they don't want to pursue, and there very likely will be things that council wishes that we would pursue, and we will be adding those subject to the will of council, of course. But in terms of our projections, we anticipate revenue of about $26,614,583 with expenditures just under that at $26,551,143. So we're anticipating so far there being a surplus budget still given the proposals that we have, and that includes the cost of living for staff members as well as funding the other programs that I identified earlier. We're still anticipating a slight surplus for the next fiscal year. Just in terms of the history of our general fund revenues, our revenues continue to be flat. Not much more that I can say about that. Just in terms of our revenue categories, this is where University City, where we get our money from: sales tax, gross receipts, property tax, and intergovernmental transfers. At the first public budget meeting, yes, Councilmember Carr.
Would you go back to the last slide, please? Okay, so when we're looking at the gross receipts and sales tax, if we were to become a point of sale, dropping that down would be gross receipts might be our larger contributor to our revenues, or
possibly.
Okay, thank you.
Well, one of the suggestions that we had from our first public budget meeting were some questions just in terms of the resident property tax bill. Where does all of the money go? You know, people come to the meetings and they think, I pay $4,000 or $5,000 a year in taxes. So we thought it would be good to add some information here just in terms of where that money goes. And the next slide, we've got an example. Or here, I'll go back. I'm moving a little quickly here. But just in terms of your house market value, if it's $200,000, this is where the money's going. University City, we're receiving less than 10% of that. So very often I have to remind members of the public when they call and they're concerned about, you know, some city service that they think they should be receiving or receiving more of, and let me know how high their taxes are. I try to have a discussion with them about the relatively small amount of money that University City actually receives. As I said, this is on your, if your house is worth $200,000, you're really paying less than $300 a year to University City out of the tax bill of over $3,000. So that's really where a lot of that money is going. It's going 60% almost to our school district, which is by far the largest portion of that, and where the rest of that money goes. So that example actually has been quite helpful when we're talking at a public meeting. So that was a good addition based upon public comment at the meetings that we've had. I'm just backing up a little bit. Just in terms of the resident property tax bill, where does all of the money go? And as I said, University City, we get less than 10%. I think everybody would have just got their tax bill here. I just got mine. So as I said, a significant portion of that is going to other places other than to the city. This is just an indication of the city share of property tax. Where does the money go? And once again, this example on a house market of $200,000. General fund expenditures. This is essentially a pie chart showing how we spend our money. See a significant portion, 48% of the city's budget goes towards protective services, police, and fire. The rest, general operations, includes human resources, IT, finance, municipal court, legislative service, and the city manager's office. significant portion towards community development and recreation, 16%. Public works and parks at 19%. General operations, as I said, is 11%. We've had some public safety budget increases indicated there, over $500,000, $660,000 over the last year. And I'm going to move to the capital improvement slide prior to the end of the presentation. But as I said, 48% of the city's budget is devoted towards protective services. These are the planned capital improvements, and as I said, I'm sure that council will be adding and deleting to this list over the next several months. But these are items that we currently have on our list, and in some cases they are grant dependent. The ones with the asterisk will really only be done if we obtain the grants. Public Works and Parks is in the process of preparing the paperwork, submitting those. So this list is likely going to be changing over the next little while. I should indicate that I'm prepared to take any questions as we kind of move through this. If not, it's going to be a relatively short study session. Additional funding needed for capital improvements. This is material that I believe the council has seen before. 12-year establishment of sidewalks and curb ramp ADA compliance. We allocated $337,500 for each of 12 years for a total of $4 million. And then routine maintenance on these is the amount of money that we would require each year if we were going to achieve that objective. Just in terms of street pavement, 12-year cycle to address the current backlog of street repairs, $1,350,000 for each of 12 years for a total of $16 million, and then just annual routine maintenance on street pavement is about would be $370,000 a year under that scenario. These are our current funding levels, which are far short of where they need to be if we want to achieve some of the objectives that I believe that council members and the public has. Yes?
Does this include the additional money that we put into the budget this year for, didn't we ask for
the
streets?
The 1.2?
Is that not, well, how's it 1.2 if it's only totals up to 705?
Yeah, where's the 1.2, Rich?
The 1.2 million would,
okay, I was looking at the other one. No, that's not shown. That was the budget from last year.
So this is not showing the current level.
Tina just whispered in my ear. That's part of that 1.2 million.
It says funding level for 2013, and we approved more than $1 million. How does it only say 7?
Yeah, it should be 1.7, and there's already, I guess that's showing some of the additional funding.
This is what you're requesting over and above, isn't it, Rich? The 1.2 is already there.
Well, this is 13, isn't that where we are right now?
1.2 million has already been included in the current year budget from the amendment that City Council approved. Yeah.
I think his question is why isn't it being shown?
Yeah.
It's not right there.
It probably could be shown there as one. It would total. We're spending 1.7 million on sidewalks, streets, tree trimming, all of those. That's what it should
talk. In this year.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it should be shown. We need to revise that.
Yes.
We need to revise that to show what council has already approved and included in the current FY13 year.
Okay.
That's what we need to do.
All right.
Okay? To include the additional. So.
Mr. Sharp?
Or is that possibly what we can only physically spend?
No, we're going to spend it all.
No, yes. It still needs to be shown. Too.
Okay.
Yeah, it needs to be shown.
Yeah, it's not a problem spending that much.
Mr. Sharp?
At some point, I think that the conversation ought to be towards whether or not we're going to go for a bond issue. When are we going to talk about that, or is this appropriate time, or when?
Mr. Walker,
words,
do you want to take that question?
There had been a subcommittee established consisting of Councilmember Sharp, Councilmember Price, and Councilmember Kraft, and the mayor. But it's been several months since that committee has met.
Actually, Councilmember Kraft was on the subcommittee that looked at the general
capital
needs. We were
looking at some
financing
issues.
That we were supposed to meet to talk about.
Yeah, but since probably April, March or April, there hasn't been any meeting.
So that might be the next step, Mr. Sharp, is to reconvene that committee and come with a recommendation and talk to the council about it. Mr. Walker, can you make that happen?
Is it going to be the same committee? I guess that's my question.
I'll talk to Mr. Walker, Mr. Sharp and Mr. Price to see if they'd like to continue.
Okay, so you want to resurrect that. Does council wish me to go back to any particular slide you want to
Mr. Price?
Talk about? Yes, Councilmember Price.
Sales tax. Let me see. Which one is that? This one? The one you were talking about, point of sale.
Oh, budget challenges.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one?
Yeah, that second one.
Okay.
Okay. If you could do this, what I need to know is, say, for example, if you had a Quick Trip versus, say you had on a property, you had a Quick Trip, or say you had a, say, IHOP, or some kind of multi-use, say on that land on out. What I'm trying to see is, if we were point of sale, what use would generate the most money? Hypothetically.
We can provide that information. I can tell you off the top, something like a Quick Trip would generate far more. A Quick Trip or a
CVS.
You said it, Council Members.
I didn't mean it, but I said it.
Would generate far more. We'll get you the numbers. We took a look at those numbers at one time just to see what specific uses generate the highest number of individual factory point of sale.
Yeah, so if you could give us like a
mixture. We can provide that information. It's just something that a Quick Trip, drive through drugstore, those provide much more in the way of sales tax revenue than other uses like restaurants. Speaking about that, I'll be sending out a memo tomorrow on that all of Morgan's on the board. Okay. I'll be sending out a memo tomorrow on follow-up to that Olive and North and South. I think we kind of need to revisit that whole property. A couple of things. One, I think we probably need to do another charrette as we did about 3 or 4 years ago to look at specific uses that council would entertain, number one, and have some public input as part of that. And number two, I think we should probably hire a commercial realtor as well to market that property for us. But I'm going to be sending out something that I've been working on to council with some proposed dates, either the latter part of January or early February, to do that. Okay. But in answer to your specific inquiry, Councilmember Price, we did take a look at what would generate the most in terms of sales tax, and those types of uses generate far more revenue than some of the other lower-end uses for a site like that.
So if we became a point of sale, we would lose $2
million? About $2 million. If I recall the numbers. Yes, about $2 million.
It's not good. Are you done?
Mr. Walker, could I ask you, if you look specifically at Quick Trip, could you also update council on our ordinance relating to liquor sales? Because I think one of the reasons those cannot happen here is because we don't allow the sale of certain types of liquor. Isn't that correct? And so they don't want to come in if we don't allow them to sell. Is that right, Mr. Glickert? I remember
that
you talking about that. So could we just get updated on what that ordinance is? Mr. Crow?
Yes. Do the non-uniformed and the uniformed employees all have the same health care plan, or are they two separate plans with different benefits? I just can't remember whether they have the same plan, or do they have a different plan for police and fire? And it's the same plan, so the increase is across the entire census of all of our employees.
List here the major components. Does that, for the most part, address council's objectives for the coming year to provide staff with some direction? As I said, we're drafting a budget, but no reduction in services, no increases in taxes, 2% cost of living increase for staff, increase in funding for police operations, which basically you've already approved. As I said, we're continuing to work with the school district on our joint grant writer. We've actually conducted the interviews and made a recommendation. And the school district is going to be making some final decision on whether we all agree in December. That's what I'm told. And then the funding for the City Hall Summer Youth Program. Each year we basically increased that. The first year we had 10, last year we had 20 with the Summer Youth Program. So,
Ms. Carr?
Thank you. With regard to the police officers, I believe I had read at some point that three officers that were federally funded or funded by a grant, that grant would expire. Has that expired yet? And
I'm not sure on the status. Do you have the status of that, Dan?
It's been expired, but what I heard is police department tried to apply for more. And the restriction about these COPS grants is the first 3 years they will be paid by the grants, and after that, when the grants expire, we have to keep those police officers. Yeah.
So is that built into our budget?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Mr. Walker, as I mentioned to you, I'm hoping we can figure out how to look at increased programming in our parks around the city. I don't know how that would impact the budget. I don't know if we have the staff to do it, but I wish there were more programming in our larger city parks around the city, and I can talk to you about that later.
Well, as I indicated, as we go through this process, I would appreciate any input from council members. As I said, we've had two public meetings so far. We've got one more, then we'll have the draft budget submitted to council in February, and we'll have three more meetings prior to submitting a final budget to council. Councilmember Curl?
You mentioned that you had the two public meetings thus far. Can you tell me how many citizens participated?
Off the top of my head, probably
two for one.
Probably about six. We keep a list, but I'm thinking probably about six.
Okay.
They have not been as well attended as we would like.
Well, and I'm just saying, I just think for your staff time and your own personal time, that's just one of those things that's kind of a cost benefit at some point in time.
But it's good to go out, and you know, it gives us the opportunity to explain things that, you know, some people may not be fully aware of. So I think it's actually a good use of time. I do wish that we could get more people to come out to the meetings. The last meeting we had at Mount Gideon, we only had two. And the first meeting was at Centennial Commons, and I think we had four or five, something like that. Last year they were better attended. I think part, you know, my personal belief at least is that part of that is there's not a lot of controversy. There's not a lot for people to kind of come out, and you know, a lot of people, my experience in my 30 years of government has been that people aren't coming out to say we like this. They're coming out to say we don't like this. You know, we don't like this. So maybe it's an indication that people are generally happy with the direction that council and the city is moving in. Because I said the first meeting, I think we had four or five. The last meeting, we just had two. And last year and the year before, in 2010, and that we had fairly big number, well, relatively big numbers, at least compared to the last year attending those. So they have not been as well attended as we would like, Council Member Crowe.
Mr. Sharp, could you turn on your mic?
I think we have a larger group of people who come to City Hall for whatever reason. When I come here to the budget sessions, there are more people here than generally come to any of the other sessions.
I think those are, once again, Councilman Sharp, I think they tend to be more issue-driven, though. You know, the first year when we were making reductions, we were restructuring, we were doing this and that. You know, people came, we like this, we don't like that, we don't want you to do this, we want you to do that. Whereas now, you know, I think things are relatively settled. So that's my opinion. Councilmember Gluckert?
Mr. Walker, as a taxing body and with the authority to tax, we have a ceiling on all of those levies that we tax. Have we looked at each one of those that we have authorization to tax? And I know that it is we are under the Missouri statutes, you know, the state legislature. But as an example, I think Ms. Carr brought up the gross receipts. I think we're just over 9%. Is there any wiggle there to go up? And some of the other levies, is there any wiggle to go up?
As of now, our rate is the highest, you know, compared to all of the city around in the St. Louis County area. R is 9%, most city 5%, and 7% are the most. So 9% is a lot already. Yeah, it's yeah.
Can it legally go higher? Not that we necessarily want it. We want it to.
For the gross receipts, I believe so. I believe so. As a matter of fact, when the electricity price increased recently, most cities lower their rate because they don't want to have more revenue. They want to keep the same level of revenue. So when electricity price increased, they lower their rate. But we didn't do anything. Yeah. So we keep at 9%.
Is the 9% the percentage of our property tax, or is that the percent that we charge on utilities?
On the utilities. For example, we impose it directly to the utilities company, 9% of what their gross receipt is. So they pass it down to consumer. Yeah, because I often get the call from resident that why the city charged them, and we tried to explain that we do not charge them directly, we charge to the utilities company. However, by regulations, they allow to pass these taxes to the consumers. Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, no. I guess we're okay. We have a little bit of a break before the meeting. Thank you all. We'll start the meeting in about 29 minutes.